Yossi ben Yoazer said in Perek 1, Mishnah 4 and 5, let the house be a meeting house for the wise. Sit amidst the dust of their feet and drink in their words with thirst. Yossi ben Yochanan said, let the house be open wide and engage not in gossip with women.
The wisdom of our matriarchs may have been termed gossip by our patriarchs, but sociological studies in the 60s deemed those conversations around the well or in the kitchen as important to the welfare of the community. It was in those social gatherings that word was spread as to who was ill, who was in need of food, who was betrothed, who was close to giving birth. And in their infinite wisdom, it was those women who tended to the ill, who attended the brides, who brought the chicken soup, who helped assume the well-being of mothers and newborns. What kind of wisdom does a grandparent bequeath to a grandchild? Some things which may be deemed narishkeit at the time become precious crystals of wisdom as time goes by. I barely remember my maternal grandparents, but I often wonder about how could that diminutive little woman have brought two children out of the pogroms of the Ukraine, have crossed Europe, had been thrown in a jail, had instructed my mother, who was 7 at the time, to escape under the gypsy skirt when she went to the outhouse and run to the nearest town and find a rabbi. What kind of strength did she have? I will never know. My paternal grandparents profoundly influenced my life. From my grandfather, the head of the Orthodox rabbinate in Cleveland, I learned how wise and loving a rabbi should be, how honest and caring. I thought for many years that all rabbis would be like him. From him, I gained my lifelong wish to learn, because if I only knew a tenth of what he knew, what a treasure. From my grandmother, I learned what a balabusta is all about. I will always remember how round she was and how soft. I will remember her knedlach, which we affectionately termed detonation bombs. I remember how she always had food for everyone. I remember her volunteering at Ezer Yoldos, and she set the bar. My mother raised the bar. But perhaps the most enduring and endearing quality that I gained from my Bobby was how she handled adversity. When my dad, her son, one of 7 children, died at the age of 50, she expressed how grateful she was for the time that God had given him to us. In fact, that's how she handled everything. When visitors came, especially the grandchildren, always feeling guilty that we weren't there enough, she never scolded us for not visiting more frequently, but she always said, thanks for coming, come again. Of course, each of her sentences were half in English and half in Yiddish, and then when we said, Bobby, we don't understand, she'd turn it around and have half in Yiddish and half in English. She was the mistress of Yinglish. I saw how my own children related to my mother and my mother-in-law, may they both rest in peace, listening to my mom tell her wonderful Bobby Mainzes. The children would sit enraptured and wide-eyed, or doing exercises with my mother-in-law. The children would marvel at her energy and focus. My children have grown up, and I see them transmitting my mother's stories to their children, and I watch them emulate the focus and determination of my mother-in-law, a trait inherited by my late husband, Zichrono Livracha. As for my own grandchildren, 14 of them, I told them not to fool around, ages almost 3 to 26, who knows? Perhaps because they're not in the same town as I. When we do get together, the time is absolutely sacrosanct, truly quality time, especially if I go to them. I have had the joy of teaching several of them as they became, as they prepared to become, Bar Bat Mitzvah. What a joy. And now I'm doing it through Skype. And we visit as often as we can. I have a lot of mileage. When we're together, even the 20-somethings ask for the scratchy backs and softa songs of their youth. Our bedtime rituals continue to be a story where they would supply the subject matter and know that the story would eventually have a Jewish turn to it. And the routine always included the Shema and the Via Hafta and a series of songs, English and Hebrew and Russian, many of which I remember from my own mother. But when my nechadim call me Sabti, my grandmother, I melt. Of course, maybe they mean softy. I'm not quite sure on that. To me, being a safta, a grandmother, is the divine dividend of motherhood. Yet I'm at a loss as to what wisdom I am sharing with my grandchildren. I think, after all, it is not for us to make that determination, but for them, the grandchildren, to glean what treasures they consider wisdom. Only they, the recipients, our grandchildren, will be able to say, this was the wisdom of my grandmother.